You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
That music can only mean one thing, and it means that it's Monday morning and time for the Dan and Dave Show, exclusively on America's Web Radio. And we've explained why this show is only on America's Web Radio, not shared with any other podcast stations, not shared with any terrestrial stations. It's because they don't want us, Dan. They just...
Well, you know, I
just couldn't take the
contract.
Truth like that. Pardon?
I could go anywhere.
Oh.
A talent like mine, I'm sure there's a demand for it somewhere.
If you don't change your ways, I'm sure we can all guess where you'll be going. But anyway, with that being said, we've got a great guest on. And in fact, he's a return guest. We're very glad to have him calling in about a quarter after. Gary Byrne is his name. He's the author of Crisis of Character. And I thought it would be appropriate to have Gary back on talking about the Clintons. He was a Secret Service agent, a uniformed agent that got the pleasure of standing outside the door of the Clintons in the White House, and took his fair share of abuse from Hillary and from Bill and Chelsea, I'm sure. But we'll go into all of that when Gary comes online with us about 8:15. Dan, I wanted to hit you, and we were talking about this just a few seconds ago, and you said it didn't, you didn't think it made any difference. I personally think it has brought at least some fairness to the plate. I'm not a big WikiLeaks supporter by any stretch of the imagination. I don't. It's not, in my opinion, not legal. I don't like the way they gather information and so forth and so on. However, with this media, the alphabet soup of mainstream media giving, I mean, they're so biased, it's sickening. And they had some records on how much time they spent on Trump and, you know, the accusations by some women, which most of them already have been proven false, like the lady that said Trump groped her in first class in a airplane 30 years ago. Well, and she said he raised the armrests and then he started touching. Well, they've already said they've had a guy come out that was on the same flight that said she was full of it. The armrests don't raise on first class, so she made that up. And most of these accusations are being proven to be wrong. With that being said, though, let's look at WikiLeaks and what they're doing. To me, they're leveling the playing field a little bit and obviously pointing out more about how Hillary and her wonderful little family really feel. And it was pointed out this morning that they approved of foreign nations giving contributions to the Clinton Foundation, approved foreign nations giving money to the campaign, which is totally illegal. And I just think, I think Trump would be in a hole that he couldn't dig his way out of if it weren't for WikiLeaks. And people, you know, there are people that are beginning to pay attention to it. I think the burning of the Republican main office in North Carolina points out how sick people are and sick regarding this election and the candidates, and I think it's terrible. But my point is, Dan, what do you think of WikiLeaks? Are you a supporter or think it's bad or good, or where are you?
I sure have, yeah. I sure got some mixed emotions, because had you asked me this question 3 months ago, I would say that I, you know, had no respect for Julian Assange, and I didn't like the WikiLeaks organization, and, you know, it would be a negative review. However, they are releasing some interesting emails that the public wouldn't see otherwise. So are they doing a service? Gosh, you know, if the truth comes from a a source that's not highly respected, is it still the truth? And, you know, I guess it is, although every time I hear a Democrat questioned about WikiLeaks, they say it's unsubstantiated. You know, they're not sure that it was really a verified email. So I guess there is some doubt. All of that rambling being said, it's interesting. And it seems like they're on kind of a daily release schedule.
Seems like,
so,
yeah.
Let's see what they come out with today and tomorrow.
Well,
it doesn't seem like it's changed anybody's mind that I've talked to, however.
You know, with all the degradation of Trump by the media, he is, you know, and they're polls all over the place, but he seems to be at least holding his own. I hope that what I hear is accurate and true, and that is that a lot of people, the pollsters are missing a lot of people, and I think there are a lot of people that feel like they've been missed for the last 8 years or 12 years or, you know, last 20 years, and they're sick and tired of it. I think it's David Clark that's the sheriff from Minnesota, I believe, or Michigan. Anyway, he was on today, and he's a black sheriff, and was saying that the same thing, that people are not talking, but they're going to be acting, and that, you know, they're sick and tired of our government is not we the people anymore. It is a small clique of people, elitists, that tell us what to do instead of us telling them what they need to be doing.
So you're talking about kind of a silent majority that's going to rise up on poll day and go down and vote for Trump?
Maybe. Hopefully, yeah.
The other side of that coin is I think there's a great deal of voter burnout. People, this has been going on so long, and it's so ugly. I think people are getting pretty sick and tired, and they may just stay home.
Well, that's, you know.
Oregon has a vote by mail.
Yeah.
I just got my voter pamphlet Friday, big, thick thing, so there's a lot of issues other than who's going to be president that I'll be voting on, and I'll be certainly voting for a president. But, yeah, I'll get my ballot, and so there's not much fatigue in Oregon. It's pretty easy to vote by mail, but if you have to go down and stand in line, you may just opt out of that. It may be just the straw that broke the camel's back. You don't have enough energy, and you know, and you don't care. It's reached that point. You really don't care. They're both rotten. They're both bad choices. Who cares? Voter turnout may be an all-time low for presidency. We'll see.
Yeah, I would bet not, but time will tell.
I hope not. Yeah.
Why do you think Trump is rotten?
Well, I don't necessarily think that. I was just kind of, that was my editorial comment on how a lot of people think that I speak to and what I hear on the news and, you know, et cetera. I think people just feel like neither candidate are worth voting for. And I think we talked about this maybe briefly over the weekend, vote for Trump, vote for Hillary signs. Haven't seen any. I've seen one of each in my neighborhood. Bumper stickers. I have not seen any bumper stickers, even for Hillary, which Democrats usually plaster their darn cars with bumper stickers.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm not seeing them. This is strange.
I've seen one. I'm like you. There are no yard signs for any candidates in my neighborhood or the area that I drive daily. And the second thing, you're right about bumper stickers. I hadn't thought about it. The only thing I have seen was last, not this past weekend, but weekend before last in San Antonio, I saw one guy wearing a Hillary T-shirt. And that's been, I haven't seen anything. I take that back. I take that back. One of the host guests here at the station wore a red "Make America Great Again" cap. So I've seen two pieces of clothing and no signs.
Well, do you think social media has usurped the role of yard signs and bumper stickers?
Well, you know, social media is, in my opinion, has added a dimension, but I'm not sure what kind of dimension. If it were working for Trump, he would be a lot further, in my opinion, further ahead in the game, in that social media is not common ground. You know, we have quite a following, but I know that it's conservative. So you're constantly preaching to the choir. You're talking to your friends. Your friends are posting their conservative views. And I'm sure the liberals are doing exactly the same thing. I don't go on liberal websites that I know of. I don't have many, if any, progressives. On my Facebook page or Twitter that I know of. So I get a feeling it's a lot of preaching to the choir. And I don't know if it...
Yeah, there's not much cross-pollinization, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, as a farmer, you know the benefit of cross-pollinization. You need
sure.
a little bit from here and a little bit from there to raise a healthy crop. I just think we're not raising healthy crops. WikiLeaks, you can go to WikiLeaks.org and click on the Leaks tab, and you can see what they've released on kind of a day-by-day schedule. It's very interesting. WikiLeaks.org.
You know, I say interesting. I don't know. Maybe that's a wrong term, but things too. And I guess she opened her door up to it. And that's about old Chelsea. She ain't exactly a saint unto herself. So, you know. The Clintons have little to no respect for. I think the media has pounded Trump unjustly, and certainly I don't care if they pound Trump, but they should pound Hillary. I don't know that Trump has ever been even associated with a murder, and we know Hillary has. So. You know, I think there's a big difference.
Well, that's what you said there is a serious statement. I don't know if she's been associated with the murder, but there's certainly been a lot of deaths of people that she knows.
Well, not only that, but she was pretty well associated with Benghazi. With that being said, it's time to take a break, and Gary should be calling in momentarily, so we'll be back right after this.
When four members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren, on Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action, from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio, and we're waiting for Gary Burns to call in. I'm going to go check and call him in a second, but you told me you found the WikiLeaks site. What is it?
Well, there's a number of tabs, and if you go to the leaks tab, it's sort of a day-by-day summary of the emails and their opinion about different matters. The one for 14 October was the trade and services agreement, talking about the U.S., EU, and 22 other countries in a trade agreement. And then going back to October 7th was the Podesta emails. But it's just a variety of emails and topics well worth going and researching. There's a war and military tab, a government tab, but you know, I think the listeners would have a little bit of fun going to WikiLeaks.org and seeing all of this stuff for themselves. They're reading about it in the newspaper. It's kind of a historical summary, in one way, kind of a timeline chronology of things that have been happening that are of interest. They talk about the Afghanistan conflict, U.S. military equipment in Iraq, yada, da, da, da. It just goes on and on and on.
Hmm.
I don't know where WikiLeaks gets their information. I don't know how that process works. I'm thinking that it just kind of comes in from hundreds and hundreds of different sources, but do you know what their source is?
Well, people have been accusing Russia that they've given them the information. You know, no, to answer your question, I don't. Is there anything there derogatory about Trump?
Not that I see.
Hmm.
Not that I see. But I think the WikiLeaks guy is kind of a Trump supporter, and that's what prompted all of this Clinton email barrage. I don't know what his feelings is for Trump, frankly. Julian Assange.
You can be calling in.
And he's being held in London in the... what is it, the Ecuadorian consulate?
I got to call in on the conference line. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. If you'll call in, we're waiting on you.
Did you? Sounds like you might have got a hold of Gary.
Yeah, I'm speaking to Gary right now.
Great.
Go ahead, Dan, and if you don't mind, talk about...
Yeah, let's talk about something on the Wall Street Journal this morning that crossed my mind, is the battle for Mosul, the retaking of Mosul by Iraq and Kurdish forces. Mosul is a city. It's the second largest city in Iraq, of about 1 million people. And there might be as many as 7,000 ISIS fighters in the city, with a lot of civilians. Now that's going to be something to watch over the next 2 or 3 weeks. Sure.
Well, Gary should be calling us momentarily. At least that's the plan.
I think ISIS is just going to file out of Mosul without a fight.
Yeah. I think Gary just called in. Gary, is that
Gary?
That you?
Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
We're doing good. We were, while we were waiting on you calling in, we were sort of going over, and we told everybody Gary Burns would be calling in, and your book, Crisis of Character, I think that's playing more and more of a role daily, and we wanted to talk about, we were talking about it in the first segment, about WikiLeaks, and that without WikiLeaks, neither one of us are proponents or endorse it by any means, but at the same time, it's sort of leveled to an extent, small extent, leveled the playing field with the mainstream media being so biased in this election, that this is, you know, has been one thing that Trump has had in his favor. I don't know how much you've kept up with what has been coming out from WikiLeaks, but basically not painting the Clintons as particularly a nice group of people. Gary, you've written a book about it. You stood out in front of their door in the White House. What do you say?
Well, the WikiLeaks, you know, again, like, kind of like you said, I don't agree with people hacking into the other people's accounts, but once it's out there, this is the only way to get transparency about the Clintons. This is one of the reasons I came out to write my book, Crisis of Character, was for transparency. Nobody really knows how crooked these people are. And the WikiLeaks falls right into line with what you read in my book, Crisis of Character. This is how the real Clinton machine is. They disparage everybody. They only pander to people to get their votes. And then basically, you know, the best thing to know about Mrs. Clinton, the way she's going to function, is listen to what Barack Obama said in 2008, which was, she'll say anything and she'll do nothing.
And that's a powerful indictment. In her last debate, she talked about the public and private positions that politicians have. And I bet you saw a good example of that in the White House.
Yeah, I did. Again, like we've talked about before, that one of the reasons I wrote my book was because I wanted people to know the real Hillary Clinton. And one of the examples I always cite is, you know, this is a person who they tout as this, you know, the most prepared person to ever be president of the United States, which is the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard, based on what I experienced in my 8 years and what the public has experienced with things like Benghazi and the email server. And also the fact that she was fired in the early 1970s during the Watergate investigation by the lead Democrat. But one of the things I experienced when I worked outside the Oval Office was I stood post with a guy one day, and 3 days before that, he had been driving Mrs. Clinton somewhere, and they were on the South Lawn in the limousine, and she got so angry in the car that she started stomping her feet, like throwing a fit, and then she hit this agent in the back of the head with the Bible. Now, I'm sorry, there is no explanation for that. That is somebody who's defective, and that falls right in line with all the other behavior that I experienced over those 8 years.
You know, there was a lot said about her being sick. Do you think both physically and mentally the lady has a problem?
Well, you know, I'm no doctor, as you well know, but I'm an expert in observation, and I've been trained to observe people in different ways for almost 30 years. And clearly she has some physical issues that we saw come out. And the only reason we saw that, of course they're hiding it like they hide everything. The only reason we saw it is because somebody was there with a camera phone and took pictures of a video of it. As far as her mental health, again, what I experience is somebody who's quick to anger, who gets wrapped around the axle, who doesn't show any leadership. She She screams and yells at people. She had some of the women that worked for her in the East Wing so afraid of her. And one of these women worked with her years before at the Rose Law Firm. That's why she was afraid of her, because she knew the real Hillary Clinton. You know, don't judge Hillary on what I say. Judge on this lady's actions. And this lady knew her for years, and she was terrified of her because she got wrapped around the axle. She immediately demanded that somebody be fired. And, again, nothing ever gets done.
What do you think it's going to...
I wonder how that'll come out if she wins the presidency. What will her presidency look like?
Well, you know, God forbid, if she does win the presidency, I can tell you what it's going to look like. Because you really, if you think about it, you already know what a Hillary Clinton presidency is going to look like. It's already started, so to speak. And what I mean by that is, you already have the Benghazi scandal, you have the email server scandal, and the email server scandal, unfortunately, is going to be the scandal that just keeps on giving. Because stuff is going to keep leaking out. And eventually, possibly somebody in the FBI or the government is going to decide to really go and investigate this and prosecute these people, including Mrs. Clinton, possibly, or at least the people that worked for her, that were running around smashing cell phones and BlackBerries, government property, because their boss, Mrs. Clinton, was either too incompetent or too stupid to follow the security procedures. So that's what, if she becomes president, that's what it's going to be, just like her husband. One scandal to the next, one disastrous thing to the next, and they'll be blaming everybody else. They'll be blaming, Donald Trump. They'll be blaming everybody else, just like you see President Obama do. Even today, sometimes he tries to blame George Bush after he's been president almost 8 years.
Gary, I have a hard time. I understand your position when you were with the Secret Service and in the White House, and I understand the people that guard her now, but. You mentioned that people are scared of her. Does that extend to the Secret Service? Does that extend to her personal aides? And is that, it would seem that Hillary Clinton is just one big cover-up. And why people go along with it? If I were assigned to be her guard, and the second time she bit my head off, that's when I'd, adios, I'm out of here. You know, go protect yourself.
Right. So I understand you saying that from your position, but once you get into the Secret Service, whether you're an agent or a UD officer, you know, you kind of get on board and you kind of get, the training that you need. And here's the thing. They're going to protect her no matter what. And I agree with what you're saying. But here's the thing. Look, you know, as far as her staff goes, her staff puts up with it because they think they believe in what she stands for, although she really doesn't stand for anything. She's poll-driven, you know, whatever the polls say. As far as it goes for the Secret Service, it's a job. It's law enforcement, it's protection, and you protect whoever. When you take the oath as a Secret Service officer or agent, the oath you're taking is to the Constitution and to the office of the presidency, not that person. And the truth is, and I talk about this in my book, Crisis of Character, when you would see her berate us, I mean, we would all but laugh in our face because it was so ridiculous. It's hard for me to describe to you how ridiculous it is to watch this woman work, because it's like watching somebody with, that has issues that, she just doesn't do anything right. She is somebody who is just ridiculous. The only time she functions mildly normal is when there's a camera on or if there's a big donor in the room or something like that. But she is somebody who just walks around this cold, distant person and lashes out at people. The Secret Service will protect her no matter what, but they believe me, they don't take her serious whatsoever. I'm speaking from my opinion. You know, when I was berated by her, I just almost laughed in her face because it was so ridiculous.
Gary, if you can, we need to take a break. If you'll stick with us a little while longer, we'll be back with the Dan and Dave Show and our guest, Gary Burns, right after this.
Your auto love and investment demands the best, and for 45 years, Passport Transport has been meeting those demands. From manufacturers to the one-car collectors and all other facets of the auto industry and antique auto hobby. The first and the finest with unequaled service and peace of mind.
Passport Transport, your auto transportation company. Contact PassportTransport.com with your need today. Passport Transport.
Obamacare is failing. We all know that, but you need to know why and what you can do to get us back on the right track. Visit us at ObamacareWatch.org. This is Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute. Join us at ObamacareWatch.org.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And welcome back to the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio. We've got Gary Burns on today, and his book is Crisis of Character. And I recommend highly any and everyone that has any doubt about the Clintons or questions the truth about the Clintons, go out and buy a copy of Gary's book. It's on the New York bestseller list, and you know, Gary was there. He was up close and personal in the White House guarding the Clintons. She has opened the door to it, so I don't mind stepping through the door. And that's with Chelsea. Was she old enough? She was very young when you were when they were in the White House. But did you see any qualities in her that resemble her mother?
Well, actually, I don't discuss Chelsea because she was a minor when I protected her. So, if you don't mind, we have to let's change the subject.
No, that's fine.
I just don't discuss her because she was a minor.
I respect that. That's no problem.
Thank you.
She is obviously entered into the race now, and
yeah,
I can understand.
Yeah, I see that, but you know, I'm not comfortable with it, but
yeah, that's fine.
That's the only thing that's off limits. Anything else you want to know or talk about, I'm game.
What do you think of, and this is law enforcement as well, I don't know of a soul, and obviously my friends, we're common-minded, obviously, but at the same token, I don't know of a soul that watched Comey and didn't say, well, son of a gun, he's going to drop the hammer on her. And then didn't.
I was greatly disappointed. I saw what you saw. And, you know, up until the point where he said he wasn't going to charge her, it sounded like to me he was actually laying out the indictment, which he did.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's actually kind of an interesting thing that happened after that. A couple of days later, I was watching Fox News, and they had the commentator Charles Krauthammer on there. And Mr. Krauthammer stated something along these lines. He said, Mr. Comey let her go, but on the way out the door, he set her on fire. And what he meant by that was, he looked us in the eye, and, you know, why he let her go, I don't know. But he also told us five times to our faces that she lied and that she was incredibly reckless and that there was 110 unclassified emails on her private server. And basically what he laid out, the way I interpreted it, was is that Hillary Clinton is incredibly reckless. She's either incredibly stupid and also incompetent. So that's the way that's what I saw. And truthfully, that's what everybody saw. But, you know, her supporters ignore that. Why Mr. Comey let her go, I don't know. But I will tell you, that was something that needs to be looked into, in my opinion.
Dan?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the American public felt just exactly like you did. He built it up, and then he stopped short.
Yeah.
Too bad.
I mean,
and I think Trump ought to hit on that more. I don't think Trump has pounded that point enough.
No, I agree. And, you know, it's funny. I've been trying to, you know, when I originally wrote my book, it wasn't to get anybody elected. When I started writing it, we didn't even know who was going to be running, really, for sure. And I started it about 2 years ago. It was just, I wrote it just to get the truth out, so everybody knew what the truth was. But, of course, as things have changed and time has gone on, I am a Trump supporter now. And I've been doing some speeches for them at the lower levels for groups like Women for Trump and Mothers for Trump. And I've been trying to get on the stage right before Mr. Trump, you know, in the national speeches that he gives. Because if he gives me 15 minutes, I will hammer her into the ground with the truth. The truth, the way I experienced it, what I wrote about in my book, Crisis of Character, and I, I'm hoping to get this opportunity to help get him in office, because like we talked about a couple minutes ago, I'm trying to do everything I can to get the message out and stop her from becoming president.
And maybe I shouldn't ask this, but we're always concerned. Obviously, the Clintons have a reputation for people that have been associated with them being in unfortunate accidents. Do you feel any fear for you or your family because of your
birth? Sure, I'm aware of what you're talking about. There's nothing funny about this, but I laugh because there's actually kind of a formal list. And I think it's up to about 44 people. It's people who have been involved with the Clintons in Arkansas when he was Attorney General and as governor and after that. And, you know, let me put it to you this way. I knew what I was getting into when I wrote the book, and I knew what these stories were. I try not to put too much stock in them. Don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't believe that there's something suspicious. It's just that you can't get wrapped around the axle on these kind of things. So I took precautions, basically. You know, I hired a big law firm as I was writing the book. And you know, I've been protecting my other people, you know, for the country, basically, for almost 30 years. So, you know, I'm a big fan of the Second Amendment. So I take it very seriously, and I protect myself as best I can and my family. As far as that list goes, yeah, it's suspicious. Think about it in this term. Let's say, you know, there's 44 people supposedly on it. You know, let's just say 25% of it's real. That's still, you know, that's a considerable amount that should be looked into. And all the, you know, when you used to hear people come forward and talk about these incidences of these people, you know, it's very bizarre. You know, they're supposedly killed themselves. This one person supposedly commits suicide, but their throat is cut from ear to ear. People don't do that to themselves when they commit suicide. You're right, this is very bizarre stuff. But once again, it gets ignored because of the Clinton machine and their spin machine and the cycle of the way they do things.
Damn. Yeah, and Trump can't bring that up in a debate because it's just too risky.
So much more we can talk about. And, you know, I don't want to presume to tell them how to run their campaign, but, you know, the main thing is they could talk about is that they're talking about him and these things that he supposedly did, but they're not talking about policy, and they're not talking about her record because she can't run on her record. Her record is four dead in Benghazi. Her record is thousands of emails ignored, 600 emails ignored for help in Benghazi. They ignored them. That's her record. Her record is using a private server to hide the fact that, to allegedly or probably hide the fact that they were doing pay-for-play with the State Department and all these people that were donating to the Clinton Foundation. That's the real Hillary Clinton.
And I think that's what we all realize, but it's the choir preaching to the choir at this point. We can't get the other side to believe those issues.
Yeah, you're right. And one of the reasons is because one of the Clintons' biggest co-conspirators is the mainstream media. I mean, I'm a perfect example. I spent 29 years protecting this country, four of them in the U.S. Air Force. I write a book about my life, and because of pressure from Hillary Clinton, most mainstream media news outlets are ignoring TV outlets. If it wasn't for radio and Fox News, nobody would even know that I wrote the book. And luckily, you know, because of radio shows like yourself and Fox News, I have gotten the message out. But that's just another thing that they do. you know, they're controlling the media. Think about this. The media, mainstream media, is already state-controlled. This is what they do. I mean, if anybody doesn't believe that they're not heading to some kind of complete socialism government, I'm sorry, you're wrong. And this is a good example. They're already controlling the media, and she's not even any, you know, in office yet.
I wonder if Clinton ever really got out of office.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, and when it comes to her husband, you know, I'm not sure if I've said this to you before when we've talked, but, you know, in some ways, Bill Clinton is even more powerful now than he was as president because he's not accountable really to anybody, and he sits on this huge pile of money, you know, the Clinton Foundation. And it's well over $200 million. And they accumulated this in about 15 years as government employees. Come on. That in itself screams some kind of corruption.
Where do you think we'll be with the Second Amendment with her?
Well, I have a couple comments about that. Here's the thing. They won't have to touch the Second Amendment. And I know that sounds crazy, but hear me out. They're not going to touch the Second Amendment. They're going to leave the Constitution alone. They're going to try to do to the rest of the country what the Washington, D.C. government has done to Washington, D.C. Do you know how many public firing ranges there are in Washington, D.C.? Zero. The only shooting ranges in the District of Columbia are owned by the federal government for federal employees. You can't carry a handgun in the District of Columbia to protect yourself. Now, they've changed that law a little bit because of Heller, but they've regulated the process to get a handgun in the District of Columbia so hard that it's incredible. I mean, you probably have an easier time getting your picture taken by the Hubble Space Telescope than getting a handgun in Washington, D.C. And that's what I'm afraid she'll do to the rest of the country.
Can we make it through 4 years of her? However,
Yes, we can.
I don't think she'll last 4 years.
Oh, physically, yeah. I agree with you. But she does get elected, and she stays there however long, and then whoever else, Tim Kaine, takes over, we will survive it, whether it's 4 or 8 years, because we're the United States of America. And listen, we helped drive the Nazis out of power. We fought a civil war, basically, over slavery and defeated that. We're the United States of America. We will prevail.
You bring up a question or something I was going to ask you anyway, and this has come out in the WikiLeaks exactly how she really feels about people. And obviously the White House has black staff. I'm sure there are black staff on the Secret Service. Did you ever hear her degrade them or be derogatory towards blacks?
Right, so I never heard her use like derogatory words, like the N-word, to describe anybody. But I did see her she berated everybody. It's kind of like, you know, it's my perspective, and kind of the message I said in my book, Crisis of Character, is that she seems to dislike everybody, regardless of skin color. I mean, she despised the Secret Service and the military. I cite many examples of this in my book. I never saw her berate anybody, you know, mentioning your skin color publicly. But she berated everybody anyway, so, you know, it's kind of like, what difference does it kind of make? You know, she clearly doesn't like anybody. And clearly from those emails, you can gather pretty safely that her opinion and a lot of her senior staff's opinion is that everybody that they supposedly support are just votes. They don't care about minorities, blacks. They're derogatory towards Hispanics, making jokes about them in those emails. And clearly, this is just a game for them, to gain votes, to take more control, to get more power. This is just how Hillary Clinton shows how power-hungry she is. She'll say anything. Again, in the words of Barack Obama in 2008, she'll say anything and do nothing.
I've got to ask, well, I know you've got to go, but I've got to ask one quick question. We know for a fact that Obama is surrounded by Muslims, basically Valerie Jarrett, and obviously Clinton has Uma Deen or whatever. Did you see any infiltration at the time that you were there of Muslims or Islamics, or is this really a phenomenon of the Obama administration?
Yeah, you know, I didn't see anything like that. I did not. My take on it is basically what you just described. That since he came into office, you know, we found out that Valerie Jarrett is basically an Iranian, Iranian descent. Uma Abedin has, and they don't dispute this, but it's funny. They don't really dispute it, but Abedin supposedly has connections to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, like her mother and father.
When you look at it, it's like they're trying to turn the Muslim Brotherhood like it's a bicycle club. These are stone cold killers that despise anything other than the radical belief of the Muslim religion of Islam, and it's just insane. I think both of them. Listen, 20 years ago, I don't think either of them would have got clearances to work in the White House. Or if they did, at least they would have done an investigation and made it public and said, you know, it's not exactly what it looks like. Hmm. Because they don't do that, that is what it looks like.
Gary, I want to thank you for being on the Dan and Dave Show. Gary Burns, his book is Crisis of Character, and we're going to have Crisis of the Country if Hillary is elected. But please go out and get a copy of Gary's book. And Gary, if you need any time with us, you're always welcome to give us a call, and we support you and what you've done. And thank you for your service over the past 30 years.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I promise, if you have me on again, I'll remember to call in at the right time.
No problem.
Hey, Gary, how do we find you on the web?
You can just put my name in, and it'll bring up, and look for me on YouTube, Gary Byrne, D-Y-R-N-E. I have a YouTube channel. You can find my Facebook page the same way, Gary Byrne, D-Y-R-N-E. And you can actually message me on Facebook if you want to. We answer within about an hour. And that's really about it. I'm at Gary Byrne Author on Twitter.
Great. Gary, thank you again. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back on the Dan and Dave Show right after this.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action, from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Obamacare is failing. We all know that, but you need to know why and what you can do to get us back on the right track. Visit us at ObamacareWatch.org. This is Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute. Join us at ObamacareWatch.org.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And welcome back to the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio. We're glad to have you listening in, and want to thank Gary Burns again for being on, and suggest that you get his book, Crisis of Character. I found Gary very informative, and, you know, to have been a guard in the Secret Service, guarding the White House, guarding the First Family, you know, he will go into some detail, but the garbage he must have taken off of Hillary, I don't think she's nice to anybody, except to make a scene.
Well, I think it's safe to say that Gary does not want to see her anywhere near the White House anytime in the near future.
I would say that I wouldn't say it was totally an understatement, but I would say that's a pretty accurate statement. You know, I guess I keep coming back, and I was going to put my Facebook post another thing on preaching to the choir. And I know how you feel, and you know how I feel with regard to Trump, but I can't express what I think about the Clintons and the evil that they're involved with. And, you know, quite honestly, anything that Trump has done that we know about pales in comparison to the Clintons. And for her to, she shouldn't even be eligible to run. I don't think she is eligible to run. But the media has washed over it and doesn't seem to care. And yet the media, they're supposed to be the protector of our rights. You know, this is the way it was meant when our nation was formed, that we would have a media, newspaper, handwritten, whatever, that would protect you and me, because we can't be in Washington. We can't be with our politicians all the time. But it's the media's job to expose them for what they are.
Well, the media has become more and more a business, and a business is there to make profit. And I think the media outlets have two issues. One is they do want to be profitable, so they tend to hype a lot of the news. But then, secondly, I think they want to make the news. They are not happy just reporting the news. They actually want to be a participant and influence the outcome. And, you know, we don't see a neutral reporting taking place. Everything has a bias or a spin. And that goes for Fox News, too. I think Fox is, you know, is very biased. I prefer listening to Fox, but they're biased. You know, they have their own agenda. And I agree with you. I think the media is one of the greatest issues that this country needs to kind of figure out. But you can't stop reporting. You can't stop talking. That's,
well, unfortunately,
speech,
I don't think they report. I think they opinionate, and I think that's you know, they'll do a decent job of quote unquote reporting on a hurricane or on a airplane crash or this or that. But you know, it's like they should have been all over the Clinton Foundation and the debacle of Haiti. You know, facts are just coming out about that. The Clinton Foundation got X amount of money to give to Haiti, and they were going to build 150 homes or whatever. And most of that money wound up in somebody else's pocket, not doing anything for Haiti after the earthquake. And the media should have,
right.
The media should have been all over that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But because it was the Clinton and the Clinton Foundation, they haven't said a word about it, to my knowledge. And, you know, it's one thing you can say about the Clintons, you can pick about any topic and there's a scandal associated with it of some sort. The pay-to-play. I can get pretty riled about that. The towel heads, in my opinion, had no right being in our State Department for any reason and any amount of money. And yet, they certainly had an influence while Hillary was in the State Department, an open door, basically. Now she wants to let in undocumented, just open the door to immigrants. I don't think so. We can't handle it.
Well, and how did Bill and Hillary become so wealthy in such a short period of time? They left the White House penniless, is their story. And now they're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, you would think that that their tax filings would have been gone through by some investigative reporter, and you know, a great story would have come out of that. But we know that Bill was making a lot of money speaking, but even so, there's hundreds of millions that are, you know, above and beyond what he made.
And Hillary's favorite charity is? The Clinton Foundation.
Herself?
Yeah, the Clinton. I mean, that's on her tax return, or their tax returns. Is it, I've forgotten what the how much it was, but their biggest contribution to any charity was to the Clinton Foundation. Does anything smell here?
Show should have a charitable foundation, the Dan and Dave Charitable Foundation.
Well, it's your nonprofit. We ought to be able to get something out of it.
Yeah, we could move right into that.
Well,
It's all very interesting. And Obama came out in a speech talking about how much stronger and better America is now than they were, you know, 8 years ago or 15 years ago, or, you know, he takes several points in time and says, look how much we've improved. And, you know, Trump kind of takes a different, you know, he says we're in trouble. And then Hillary says, well, Donald, you don't have anything good to say about anybody. So people point fingers and I don't know. It's just, it's so messy. It's so messy and confusing to so many people.
Well,
but I think it's going to be interesting to see how the election comes out. And I agree with Gary. We'll get through the next 4 years. I think we are a strong country. And I think we're at our best when we're tested. And I think there's going to be testing, moments of testing coming in the next 4 years, one way or the other.
You know, let's as I mentioned, in my opinion, and I'm not a doctor, just in my opinion, I don't think the lady will make it 4 years. Or if she does, she won't be capable of going another 4 years. But let's step back from that. Okay, everybody seemingly is not satisfied with what we're doing today. Who would be the candidate tomorrow?
Who were some possible candidates?
Yeah, I mean, we all say, oh, gee, or at least the conservatives, boy, I wish a Ronald Reagan would come forth. Is there a Ronald Reagan sitting around that we don't know about for 4 years from now?
Yeah, sure. I think there's some really great leaders. I can't go through a list of names, but I believe they're out there.
That's why I ask the questions, to get the answers. Anyway, we're about at the end of, as the hangman says, we're about at the end of our rope.
Well, how about Dave? There's a good name for you. Dave, 2020?
And I'd only be 112.
I could be your running mate. We could be the oldest. Anyway,
we could trade off pushing each other into the Oval Office. Your wheelchair one day, mine the next day. And can you imagine the scene in the White House with a bunch of old farts and their walkers? They'd be bumping into each other, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, it's time to put the plug in the jug. We've got the land surveying show, the NSPS hour coming on. I know Kurt's already gung-ho about it. He's about ready to come on the air. He's chomping at the bits to get on. So I guess we're going to have to move aside, Dan, and let him on.
Oh, I hate to. I got another two or three things to say, so call me later and I'll say them.
You got it. Thanks, Dan.
We'll be back. Thanks, Dave.
We'll be back next week with the Dan and Dave Show, only on America's Web Radio. Stay tuned for the NSPS Hour right after this.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.